such truth, such thing as absolute truth? Is there a truth that whether we believe it or not is still the truth? Yes, it's right here. We have it. People need to know what happens. People need to know that whether they believe it or not is still the truth, then they one day will be judged by it. There is absolute truth. Listen to these verses. We don't have time to turn to each one of them. Listen to this. John chapter 8 and verse number 32. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." How about Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 5? "Because of the hope that was laid before you in heaven, of which you heard before the words of the truth of the gospel." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge, the full knowledge of the truth." 2 John chapter 1, verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth." So what is this truth that we speak of? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14 reads this way. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, God's Word is the truth. We can open this. We can study it, we can know it, and to know that it's not going to change whether or not it's true or not. There will not be a day that the Lord stands before you and says, "I got you." It's not true. Those things aren't true. We can apply it to our lives and know that God's Word is the truth. So when Jesus speaks of the truth, he speaks of that which is accurate, that's absolute. And not relative whether or not you believe it or not. Not relative to what the world says the truth is. And it's not relative to whether or not brother so-and-so over here, or this guy over here, or this commentary over here says that this is what the truth is. It's not relative to any of this. In fact, John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, "Sanctify them. And our truth," that word, "is true." So by abiding in Jesus' teaching, we can know the truth and the freedom in which it offers. Freedom from the bondage of sin becomes even more meaningful when we understand and consider how Jesus brings about the life. So not only is he the way, and not only is he the truth, then we know that there's absolute truth, but he also brings about this life that we can't even comprehend it sometimes. This kind of life that he gives. The problem is what we see like this. You see, he offers us abundant life. John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I have come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly." The problem is, he corrects our misconceptions of what life really is. You see, because to the world, it's the people outside of the church, the abundant life is, and maybe even inside the church, the abundant life is material prosperity, or pleasure, or popularity, or "I've got the four-story house and the BMW." If you have those things, then there's nothing wrong with that. But we associate the good life or this abundant life with those things. But Jesus corrects this misconception when he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said to them, "Take heed and beware of the covetousness. For what life does not consist in abundance of things he possesses." Do you understand that? Do we grasp that? Look, I know that I'm still young, and I still have to think about that often. To make sure and understand that this life is not about the things that we have, but about inexpressible. And with such peace and joy and love that he gives, what an abundant life he offers to us. How did Jesus provide this abundant life? Let's go over to John chapter 3 and verse 3. Another interesting conversation happens between Jesus and Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, and we actually are going to look at verse 2. The man came to Jesus night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. For no one can do these signs that you have done unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What an interesting situation, because I can imagine, not knowing what I know, this conversation happened. You walk up to Jesus and says, Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And he's saying, Well, how in the world can I be born again? Obviously, Nicodemus is thinking on a physical sense, and Jesus is talking on a spiritual sense. And there's this battle that they deal with, and it's a problem that happens through all the New Testament. I think we still struggle with it today. Understanding the difference between the physical and the spiritual. Nicodemus couldn't understand how physically he's going to be born again. Jesus is telling how to do it spiritually. Unless we do it, we cannot have the abundant life. So Jesus provides the abundant life through being born again with water and spirit. Jesus provides us an abundant life through his gospel, by which we are born again. In conclusion this morning, as we think about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life, and each person should understand that, and that it's only through Jesus that we can go, and we can't create our own way to be able to get to heaven. We can't say, well, you know, I don't really like this, so I'm going to remove it. But I'm still going to make it to heaven and be able to do it that way, because Jesus says, if you want to come to the Father, you have to come through me. We need to preach Jesus to no one else to people. We don't need to talk about what some folks say all the time. Of course, we can use those things. I did this morning. But also, back to the Scripture. Jesus may be the way, the truth, and the life. He may be the way. But it has no value unless he is your way. Your way is the truth to salvation. Your way that leads to eternal life in God. If you have not responded to the gospel this morning, if you've been contemplating that, thinking about what is it that I need to do in order to be able to respond to the gospel, we want to study with it. Rather than be able to explain to you what we're talking about when we talk about being born again. This morning you may have the desire, you know what it is you need to do. You have a desire to become a Christian, being baptized into the body of Christ. We want to help you with that. Maybe it's you're already a Christian and you have not let Jesus be your way. Maybe you've created your own path this morning. You need to pray to the congregation. Prayers to God to be forgiven of those things. We want to help you with that. Maybe it is that you have a problem today that has nothing to do with sin. Maybe it's something that you're dealing with, and you know what? As a church, we don't need to deal with them alone.